Great to be with you. Hope it's been a great day. Thankful that our folks from CYC have made it back to be with us. And thankful for everybody who sacrificed their weekend and pitched in, whether you just sent your kids off or if you gave of your time and drove and packed and all that kind of stuff. We're very, very thankful for everybody's contribution and thankful for the time they had, and know that the lessons that were presented were challenging, the Challenge Youth Conference, and so we're thankful for this opportunity and appreciate Nick's direction and leadership and hard work, and look forward to reaping the benefits from what's been learned and the maturing process that's gone on. We're very thankful. Tonight we want to talk about, as you can see, the destructive power of envy. A little bit unusual maybe to think about envy like this. Started thinking about it a few weeks ago whenever we were going through the book of Galatians and we hit the works of the flesh, and listed there in Galatians 5:21 is this idea of envy. And if envy is part of your makeup, if envy is part of what's just natural for you, your characteristics, and you're in danger of missing the kingdom of heaven. So let's begin this way. Let's think together. Have you ever had this feeling? You see somebody, and they have something that you want. Maybe it's something you've wanted for a long time. Maybe it's the latest phone, the latest tablet, something like that. You've wanted one for such a long time. And there's your rival, and they have one. You ever had the feeling well up inside of you? You ever had the impulse to go over and just slap that right out of their hands where it just breaks on the ground? You ever had that feeling? Probably not any of you, but you've probably heard of people who did. Seen it on TV or something. Some people have that kind of impulse. They have that feeling that if somebody else has the thing they've wanted, it's not enough to say, I'll show you and I'll go get my own. The impulse is to destroy, to keep the other person from having it. Or maybe this. You hear someone being praised. You hear accolades being just poured down upon someone else. And with every new kind word, with every word that's spilled out over this other person that's building them up and really extolling them and singing their praises, with every wonderful thing that's said about the other person, your stomach just gets in more of a knot. You just get a sicker and sicker feeling the more and more praise that's heaped on someone else. You ever had those kinds of feelings? Maybe not just exactly like that. Maybe you haven't really wanted to slap some electronic device out of somebody's hand. But you've likely, in some form or another, you've experienced envy. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30, we're really going to key in on this one verse. A tranquil heart. The heart that's at peace with where they are and who they are. The steady, tranquil, at peace heart gives life to the flesh. The person who is okay with where they stand and who they are, it's as if they're energized. But he goes on to say, but envy makes the bones rot. That's a rather ugly picture. Envy makes your bones rot, the Bible says. Envy debilitates. Envy slowly destroys. It saps our strength. It makes it impossible to function effectively. Being full of envy keeps us from being who we need to be, who we should be, and keeps us from functioning the way we want to live. Like bones that are rotting beneath the skin, envy kills us from the inside out. The Greek philosopher Socrates is credited with saying this: envy is the daughter of pride, the author of murder and revenge. Envy is the begetter of secret sedition, the perpetual tormentor of virtue. In other words, the person full of envy is not a virtuous person. Envy is the filthy slime of the soul. Envy is a venom, a poison, a quicksilver, which consumes the flesh and dries up the marrow of the bones. The Bible said, envy in the heart causes the bones to rot, destroys us from the inside out. Envy has the power to destroy us. Envy is the malicious regard for the advantages that we see in other people. Whenever we see the good that someone else has, we have this desire to destroy. We have this desire to wreck. And part of the problem is that we don't recognize it. We're not looking for it. We don't have our antenna out looking for what is maybe what we should recognize as envy. Here's what happens. We've sanitized envy. We've watered down envy. We've formed envy into this kind of thing that's okay to exist with. Here's what's happened. We've made envy. Remember I said a moment ago, the Bible said envy is going to cause your bones to rot, as it were, destroys you from the inside out. Socrates said, if you're an envious person, you're not a virtuous person. But what we've done is we've made envy into a virtue in this culture, instead of calling envy a sin. Think with me like this. On the one hand, when we're so focused on the self, instead of labeling what we're going through, instead of labeling it envy, we say it this way. I'm just seeking to get what I deserve. I'm just making sure that everything is fair. You know, because so-and-so has one of those, or so-and-so got one of those promotions, or so-and-so is at this station in life, and so I'm just telling you, I don't have that, and it's not fair, and I'm going to get it. So we've said it's virtuous to be standing up for what's fair, not recognizing we're wallowing in envy. On the other hand, instead of just being so just completely self-centered, we're misguided in this way. We think, I'm so virtuous that what I'm doing is that I'm envisioning myself as the righteousness police, as it were. And I'm seeking for someone that I can put in their place. I'm seeking for someone that I can bring down a notch or two. I'm seeking for someone that I can humble. That's envy. And it's a sin. When I'm on the lookout for someone to bring down a peg, when I'm on the lookout for someone to humble, that's me living in and wallowing in and being destroyed by envy. So let's look at three very specific things here very briefly about the destructive power of envy. We've already seen all of these things are going to center around this idea from Proverbs 14:30. Everything we talk about is going to center around the idea that envy is like rotting bones. It's destroying us from the inside out. But there's some specific ways we want to address it. And the first one is this. Envy has the power to destroy our families. Envy has the power to destroy families. Maybe turn in your Bibles to Genesis 37. Go all the way back to Genesis 37. And what we're going to see here is we're going to be thinking about the idea that envy can cause physical families to split apart. Envy can be what drives siblings apart, spouses apart, children and parents. Envy can destroy physical families. Envy can also destroy spiritual families. Envy can be the very thing that splits a church family apart. In Acts chapter 7, I want you to stay in Genesis 37, but make this note here. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is making his powerful and very effective, because he stirs up the hearts of his hearers, his listeners, his audience. When Stephen's making his defense, he runs through this long history of the Israelite nation, going back to the beginning and coming all the way up to the time that they are living there, with the time of Jesus, and he says, in essence, Look, every time a godly man, a prophet of God came along, he gets rejected. The prophets of God always get cut down when they should have been listened to. That's sort of the point he's making over and over. Well, he begins talking about Joseph. And in Acts chapter 7, verse 9, he says, the patriarchs, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel. He says, the patriarchs were envious of Joseph. Joseph's brothers were so envious of him, they sold him into Egypt, but God was with him. So here's what happens. He says, envy destroyed that family. Envy split that family apart. The brothers couldn't handle it, seeing Joseph treated the way he was. Genesis 37, verses 2 through 4. That's the passage there where we see that it says that Joseph's father loved him more than the others, gave him the coat of many colors, right? We're familiar with that passage. Verse 4 says, when they saw how he was loved more than they were jealous. Verse 8 speaks of how they were jealous because of the dreams he was having. His brothers were jealous because of the words that he was speaking. You're all going to bow down before me. And they were being eaten up with envy. Verse 11 says the same thing. They were envious. And so finally, we know that what happens in verses 25 through 28 of Genesis chapter 37, they finally come up with this scheme. Sell him. Get rid of him. They first said, let's kill him. And then some balked at that idea. Now, let's not kill him. We're going to get rid of him, but let's don't kill him. And they sell him into slavery, and he's taken to Egypt. So some of his brothers were actually willing to kill their own flesh and blood because they were so eaten up with envy. But even the ones who weren't willing to kill him, listen to this. They were willing to let their father think he was dead. Envy had such control of their own hearts, they didn't care if they broke the heart of their father. You have got to be so far gone, so under the control of envy, that if you are unconcerned about breaking the heart of someone who should be special to you, that's how powerful envy is. They were willing to let their father think that their brother was dead. Envy can destroy a family. And that's part of the reason why God demands. You read a passage like Romans chapter 12 might be one example, but there's a number of examples we could go to and turn to the pages of Scripture where God demands of us that what we do is that we cry with one another when times are sad, and we celebrate with one another when we experience victories. God is asking of us to really and truly recognize that we're on the same team. He's asking of us to really and truly recognize we're part of the same family. And so we go through highs together, we celebrate victories together, we go through lows together, we cry together, we weep together, and we make through it. All of these things together is the idea. And whenever one side can't stand to see what the other side is doing, we get destroyed. Envy destroys families. Secondly, envy also has the power to blind us to the truth. Be turning back to the book of Acts. And stop at about chapter 5, Acts 5. On our ladies' Bible classes on Thursdays, we've been going through the book of Acts. And something that has jumped out as we've done this study is that again and again and again, envy pops up, envy rears its ugly head and starts to destroy things. We already saw Acts 7, verse 9, Stephen said, envy destroyed that family, split that family apart. Well, something else we're going to see here is that three different times, as we glance through the book of Acts, we're going to see that envy becomes extremely dangerous to the well-being of the apostles. Envy is going to persecute the apostles. Acts 5, verse 17 is the first example. Acts 5, 17. The high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and they were filled with envy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. They couldn't stand to hear and see what the apostles were doing, the following that they were gathering. Go to chapter 13. Acts 13. We have Paul and Barnabas. Acts 13, go all the way down to about verse 44. Acts 13, 44. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the, notice this, when the Jews saw the crowds, doesn't say they heard Paul preaching a false doctrine. The Jews saw the crowds, and they were filled with envy, and they began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. That's that word from this morning, blaspheming, because of what Paul was teaching. One more example. Go to chapter 17. You notice how this just keeps popping up, this idea. Did you recognize envy played such a significant role in the book of Acts? It's over and over. Acts chapter 17. Let's begin at verse 3. Actually, begin in verse 2. 17:2. Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead, saying, "This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. Verse 5. But the Jews were envious. Taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob and set the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring him out to the crowd. When the Jewish leaders here, as revealed in these few pages, saw the multitudes, their hearts didn't well up with joy, thinking, look at all those who are being brought into the family of God. When they saw those crowds, they saw competition. They saw uneducated men preaching powerful sermons and changing lives. They saw one man in particular, this Paul, who used to be one of their own. And now he's preaching powerful sermons about Jesus and changing lives. And they can't stop it. And it drives them crazy to see their numbers go away from them to someone else. Envy can keep us from seeing the truth. And that's exactly the point here, is that whenever Paul and the others are speaking these messages, when they're preaching these messages about the risen Jesus, the emphasis is given to, they saw the crowds and couldn't stand that. They couldn't stand the crowds being drawn up to Paul. And so instead of saying, maybe I should listen to what Paul's saying, maybe I should take a moment and take in and think about, meditate upon the messages being delivered. They said, I can't stand that he has this crowd. I'm going to put an end to him. Envy can keep us from seeing the truth. So I have to ask myself, do I really want the world to be turned upside down for Jesus Christ? Do I really want to see more and more and more lives turned around because people are meeting and submitting to the risen Jesus? Is that really what I want? Or do I just want things to go my way? Or do I just want things to be put in such a fashion to where I get credit and glory and praise? Envy can cause us to contradict the truth. Envy can cause us to blaspheme the God of heaven, as we saw happening in these accounts here in the book of Acts. Their envy of the position, their envy of the numbers following the apostles, caused them to contradict and blaspheme the truth. We need to take this as a warning. Am I in a certain position? Do I claim to believe certain things because it's the truth, or because I'm standing against some other kind of person or some situation? Thirdly and finally, envy can separate us from Jesus. Be turning in your Bibles to Matthew 27. You know from your past study, Matthew 27, we're at the time of the mock trials of Jesus, Jesus being delivered to Pilate. The time of his crucifixion is drawing very close. And as Pilate interviews Jesus, as Pilate time and time again seeks to question him and get to the bottom of what's going on, we know that no less than three times Pilate declares Jesus to be innocent. What is it that took place? Why are they so upset? What's all this about? Are you a king? All of those kinds of things. And it was plain for everyone to see. Even Pilate knew it. That the reason Jesus was brought before him, the reason they were begging for him to be crucified, was envy. Envy murdered Jesus. Look at Matthew 27. Let's just start reading at verse 15. Matthew 27, 15. At the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you? Barabbas, this one who is clearly guilty, or Jesus, who's called Christ, one who is clearly innocent?" For he knew, and listen, the verse 18 is the key here, "For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up." He knew it was because of envy. Jesus was delivered to Rome because of envy here. Jesus could preach the way others couldn't. Jesus could lead in a way that others couldn't. Jesus could heal in a way that others couldn't. Jesus could touch lives in a way that others couldn't. Jesus could make others feel loved and included and part of a family the way others couldn't. To summarize, we just say it this way: Jesus could do everything perfectly because he was the one and only Son of God. But instead of recognizing who he was, instead of admitting who he was, instead of falling down at his feet, instead of glorifying the Almighty God of heaven, they turned on him. Their envy led them to murder him. Envy separated them from Jesus. And envy has the power to separate us from him as well. Let me give you just a handful, just the tip of the iceberg of some passages, one or two from the Old Testament, several from the New Testament, that emphasize this point, that show us how much thought God had given to this idea of envy and how much he wants us to recognize it. Proverbs 27, beginning at verse 3, "A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. Wrath is cruel, anger's overwhelming, but who can stand before envy?" It's powerful, and it's destructive, and we need to recognize it. In the New Testament, Paul would include envy in a list like this, beginning at Romans 1, verse 28. "Since they do not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and maliciousness." Envy's listed right next to murder. Full of envy and murder. Both destroy. Both separate us from God. Galatians chapter 5 at verse 21 is the place I told you where in Galatians 5:21, envy is listed there in the works of the flesh. And then Galatians 5:25, the Bible says this: "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Let us not be the kind of people who envy one another, but rather the opposite. Let us be people in step, led by, living in the Spirit. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. "We ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days," here's how we spend our days, "in malice and envy." If you spend your days in malice and envy, you know what the outcome is? You're hated by others and you hate others. What a miserable life. What a miserable life, hating others and being hated. That sounds basically like my nightmare. Should do you too. But God says that's the natural result, consequence of living a life of malice and envy. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. So put away all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy. Get rid of envy. So that's the negative way. Get rid of envy. Don't let envy be part of your mindset, part of your heart and soul. Get rid of it. And instead, let's replace it with this. Let's replace it with love. Because at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. We talked about this a little bit this morning in our Bible class about being kind. Love is patient and kind. That's the positive way to say it. Love's patient and kind, but here's the negative way to say it. Love does not envy. Love does not envy or boast, and it's not arrogant. So there it is. On the one hand, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. If I'm going to truly describe myself as someone of love, someone who is like God, someone who is like Jesus, and I seek to be defined by the love that I show, then I'm going to be patient and kind, and I'm not going to be connected to envy. Envy is the zeal, the desire, the impulse to destroy. Envy is the desire to wreck. The opposite is to build up. So instead of tearing down and destroying, the opposite is to build up and encourage. Paul would write in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, keep on building each other up, just as you're doing right now. Building up, encouraging, healing. This is what we'll be doing if we're consumed with Christ rather than with self. Envy can destroy, but Christ can heal. Envy can separate us from Jesus, but His blood can reconcile us and bring us together. I want you to be aware of the fact that when you seek to bring someone else down, when you seek to just get what's fair, just get what's coming to you, you're not being virtuous, you're being envious. You're not being righteous, you're being sinful. And we need to be aware that envy destroys, but only Jesus heals. If there's any way that we can help you tonight to come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ that is able to cleanse, to purge, and to heal all that destroys, won't you come while we stand and sing together?